This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL-AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. I'm Celeste Quinn. Jason Croft, now in master control on the guitar.
Yeah, it was nice music that he chose this month.
Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with me in the studio this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month to talk about dogs, dog behavior, care, and training. Usually we do this show on the first Friday of the month, but the first Friday this month was the 4th of July. So they are here on the second Friday. They'll next be with us on August 1st. How about that? We'll be two-thirds of the way through summer.
It went so fast.
Yeah.
It's going so fast.
If you'd like to talk with Carol and Jim, give us a call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455, and toll-free 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Well, did you have a good holiday, a good Independence Day?
I had a great time.
Excellent.
Yes. The dogs and I enjoyed our fireworks on Thursday night. I didn't go to the ones on Friday night, but I think because the air was so still that Friday evening, even though I live quite a distance, I think I could hear them.
Mm-hmm.
They were very good through the fireworks, too.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
I know we did something, but I can't remember what. We went to Shakespeare Sunday night.
In Bloomington?
In Bloomington. And I'm sure we did something else.
It was a week ago.
It's all faded.
Yeah, I don't really remember what we did.
Friday, didn't do much. Oh, I know what I did Friday. I cleaned the dog training club on the 4th of July. That was my assigned task. That's one thing, you know, when you have a big club and you have a lot of volunteers, and that's one of the things that we as members have to do. And
take a turn.
Yep. And I just thought I'd make the most of my holiday and day off by spending some time cleaning that building, and I had a great time, actually.
Speaking of the club, anything happening that you want to mention here?
Our agility trials are the 19th and the 20th.
Of July.
Of this month. And if nobody's had a chance to go out and see it other than what you catch on Animal Planet, it's a great time to put yourself in the car, drive over there, and watch what agility is all about. Leave your puppy dog at home, but come out and watch, because it's really... it's fun. It's fun to watch.
For those of us who've never seen an agility trial, what's it like?
Well, there's several different categories. There's the levels of difficulty, but the dogs run in size order. So Jim has, I think, is it 12 inches and under, 6 to 8 inches? Well, that's pretty small. They have everything from little tiny Maltese up to a Malamute-sized dog, perhaps not too many of those, but Dobes and Shepherds and Golden Retrievers, and they run the course according to height. And the course consists of jumps and A-frames and a teeter-totter.
Weave poles.
Tunnels. And the dog follows the handler's direction and goes in accordance
There's a cell phone stop. You have to sit, lie down, and call somebody on the cell phone.
And the dog texts.
They have a little table, and the dog has to either lie or sit on the table the judge's direction, just to show the dog still can collect themselves and doesn't get caught up in the moment and still listening. The handler runs alongside or in front of the dog and directs them to each obstacle, which the judge has mapped out. So it's not as easy as it would appear.
No. Some of us older folks stroll behind the dog rather than run.
But you give them direction. It's all done off lead. The dogs are running free.
Mm-hmm. Have your dogs been in an agility trial?
No, they have not.
The dog trainer?
Yeah, that's an area that I've dabbled in it, but I haven't done any competition.
I would imagine that takes a lot of dog handler work.
Yes, and it takes some physical capability on your part. So since I'm always ruining something with my feet or my back, it's kind of hard to contemplate running. But Jim, you've done it.
If I'm allowed to brag.
Please do.
I've only trained one dog in agility. It's hard on Malamutes. The bigger dogs have a lot more problems landing on the on the jumps because there's so many of them. But Neelix is a fairly small male Malamute. Neelix was high in trial at the 2006 Alaskan Malamute National Specialty.
That's good.
Now, there are several high. There was only one high in trial in obedience, but there are several in agility. He was high in trial in, it's called Novice Preferred Jumpers. Novice because he doesn't have a title yet. Preferred, they lower the bars. So a dog his height normally would jump, I think, 24 inches. He only had to jump 20 inches, but on each jump. And jumpers... there's a competition where you have only tunnels, weave poles, and the jumps. They take out the A-frame.
And the teeter-totter.
The teeter and those kind of obstacles. So he was high in trial, novice preferred jumpers.
That is very good.
And I might, as long as we're talking about me and my dog, same dog, Neelix, won from the Alaskan Malamute Club of America the 2007 Unanik Memorial Award. And for those of, I'm sure everyone knows that, but for those who don't, it's an award given by the National Club to the highest scoring Malamute in the club for whatever year, getting their CDX, which is an advanced obedience title. And Neelix won it last for 2007. We just got it a couple weeks ago.
That's excellent.
Well, the nice thing is it's a bronze little statuette, you know, about 8 inches by 8 inches of a Malamute jumping over a high jump with a dumbbell.
How nice.
And, well, it's terrific.
Add that to other millions of trophies.
Oh, we have so many trophies, we don't know where to put them all.
Seriously.
I put this one in the middle of the kitchen table.
They have all over the walls. And
so anyway, that's I get to brag about
Congratulations.
That.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Every breed has a national breed club. So there's the Golden Retriever Club, there's Alaska Malamute Club, there'd be the Cocker Spaniel Club.
Is there a Doodle Club yet?
I don't think that we're going to see one that's recognized by the American Kennel Club.
Okay.
There might be a Doodle Club.
There might be.
Mm-hmm. But these are outside the...
Right, outside the parameters of the American Kennel Club. But everybody, and that's it. When you have a certain breed of dog, or if you have a dog that there's a predominance of a certain breed there, that's always a good site to go to for information and FAQs and all those types of things, contacts. When people are looking for a specific breed of dog they'd like to purchase and they ask me, I always refer them to those sites because often they'll have a list of breeders in the area.
At a large Alaskan Malamute national specialty, in all events, conformation, obedience, agility, weight pull, we might have 450 entries altogether. The Golden Retriever National, in obedience alone, they have about 600 entries.
Yeah.
It takes a week to judge all these.
Yeah, it's Golden Retrievers are, it's a very popular breed.
What else are some of today's most popular breeds?
Oh, they just changed that ranking.
Did they?
Now
it used
because
to be the Lab.
It was the Lab's still number one. Oh, and it? I think, boy, I hope somebody calls in. Golden's dropped. They were number two. And did German Shepherds go to number two? I can't remember.
I don't know.
But I know Golden's dropped to six or seven. But it's almost always you have your same breeds. You'll have your Labs, your Goldens, your Shepherds, your Beagles, your Poodles, Cocker Spaniels.
All those rotten dogs.
Yeah, they usually round out your top 10 of popular breeds. So, but I know that this year it did. I think the Shepherd moved up and the Golden moved down.
This is the Afternoon Magazine, and dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month to talk about dogs. So if you've got a question, you've got a story to tell, you'd like to do a little bragging of your own, give us a call. 333-9455, the number of in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455.
I was just thinking of some of the listeners that have called in with problems, and we always ask them to call back and let us know their progress. I'd love. We had one last month, and she was going to call us back, but I can't recall what her situation was. But we asked her to call us and let us know.
We could do a Stump the Chumps. Celeste could get a hold of somebody that we've given advice to, and then
and call them.
And you know, have we talked to you since the last time? And
that would be kind of fun,
though.
Did
you follow our advice? And the problem is, the universal answer would be, no, we didn't listen to you. What do you think?
I'm trying to remember
what did, you know,
woman's situation. Well, the woman in Marseilles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she would call in frequently in the progress of her little guy.
What kind of a dog was that? It was a Shih Tzu?
I think so. Casey.
Casey.
The bitter.
Yeah.
He'd bite everybody.
Yeah.
And now he's like 11 or something. But yeah, I can't remember if Marseilles is correct, but I remember
the, he goes back to the early days.
Yeah,
when
he does.
We were doing this.
Yeah, and she
topic.
Called a few months ago, which made us realize how long we've been on the air.
Yeah.
But I'm always curious if people
and
see
boy,
some progress.
Are our arms tired?
We've been in the air so long. But it is kind of interesting to see. You can see it when you're teaching a class. It's easy to see the progress that some people are making, but it's different when we just talk to them on the phone.
Classes coming up?
We're in the middle of classes right now. The next set of classes starts in early September. You can go to the website and sign up or get information, which reminds me, apparently PrairieNet is going to discontinue the vast majority of its services as of next year. And we have all of our web page, we have our email, we have everything through PrairieNet as a club. So we're...
You're going to have to do that on your own now?
I think we're going to have to go back to smoke signals.
Back to the phone.
Oh, man.
Are you going to be director of training again? Do you know?
Alas, unless...
somebody steps forward.
Yeah, and the odds of that are not good.
Surely there's somebody in the club.
Don't call me Shirley.
Yeah. That would have the expertise to...
In fact, there are. We've got 6 months' notice, so we'll be able to do it. As I put it, the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah, it's hard now to imagine what it was like, but I was director of training in a time we didn't have listserv.
Email was the telephone.
Not everybody had it.
And get the operator.
And so a lot of time was spent just calling people on the phone And that was a tedious at best, and I think we've all forgotten what it's like.
Well, why don't we put our headphones on and we'll take a call now. A listener is waiting to talk with us in Champaign on line one. Hello.
Oh, I have a couple of questions. You were talking about different breeds, and I wondered about had a couple of different things that I wanted to ask about. One is I look in the ads, I see all sorts of puppies being produced, and there are all sorts of people advertising puppies. And now that we got the internet and we got Pet Finder and so forth, it's a lot easier to find breeds that need homes that are in rescue. And I just wondered what percentage, well, one of the things I wondered was what percentage of the dogs that people intentionally breed and what percentage are needing homes, I guess, you know, is there only 5% of them that need rescue, or is it a much larger percentage? And so my feeling is, I guess I wonder sometimes whether we shouldn't be breeding so many more dogs. When I look at these ads and I see all these dogs that are being bred and they're dogs that need homes, I'm just wondering what's the breakdown of that sort of thing.
We would have no way of knowing that, but I can tell you that every breed has a rescue organization, at least one in every state. I think Illinois has got, I don't know how many for Goldens, 4 or 5. I think it's not the dogs that are being advertised for sale in the newspaper that are contributing to the problem. I think it's more the dogs that are purchased either online or are purchased through a puppy store. I don't know. What do you think, Jim? I think the people that I see ads in the – I read them every day, and I see ads. I look for ads for Goldens, and they're not the mass producers of puppies that contribute to the problem, in my opinion.
Well, that was one of my second question is puppy mills. What is the? I know some friends that ended up buying some Weimaraners, and they discovered that they, when they went to pick them up, they found out, I don't know exactly how they purchased them, but they ended up deciding that they had come from a puppy mill. And I wondered, what are the controls in this state, or is it a local thing, or what? And is there any way of controlling these puppy mills? I mean, with laws or something, or what's the deal around here? Is there a lot in Illinois, or is it?
There are very few mills as such, and it depends on what you call a puppy mill. We call ourselves a puppy mill. We've produced one puppy in the last 3 years. And so as a joke, we say, well, I guess we're a puppy mill. But when I refer to a puppy mill, I mean somebody who just mass produces puppies. Most of those kennels are in Missouri and Kansas because the laws there are fairly lax. And, you know, they'll turn out thousands of puppies a year. In Illinois, that's
we have
virtually
them.
Impossible.
Yeah, we have them. And there was one not too far outside the Chicago suburbs. They get publicity more so than you would. You couldn't cover
them
all in some
other
states.
That kind of thing in Illinois isn't necessarily legal, whereas in Missouri, Kansas, it is. There are other areas in Illinois where people are producing quite a few legally, but that's what I think of when I think of a puppy mill. It would be unusual to have a Weimaraner from a puppy mill. They might have come from somebody who just produces a lot of those kinds of dogs. But a puppy mills generally go for the smaller breeds because they're easier to deal with, and they're cuter, longer, and that kind of thing. You have to feed them less, and you get as much money for them. So usually puppy mills are turning out toys and the smaller dogs.
And the designer mixes.
Designer dogs. They're not necessarily puppy mills that produce those, but they certainly can be.
Okay, one other question I had. I gather Carol is a hearing officer for dogs in the area as far as determining dangerous dogs and so forth. And I wondered, could you give us any information about how often that takes place? How many, you know, is that a serious thing in the community? I heard of somebody getting their leg bit recently. And
I happened to meet her, the woman that was severely mauled by pit bulls on Sunday. That's outside the jurisdiction of the city of Urbana. I do the vicious dog hearings for the city of Urbana only, not the county and not the city of Champaign. But I did meet this woman that had been injured. I believe Channel 3 aired her story either Monday or Tuesday. And it was
a pretty valuable lesson
for anybody that either saw that or can talk to her, because she was out riding her bike in a rural area of Urbana, had her cell phone with her, which I think is something that we should all do. And she was attacked by three pit bulls. And she had the presence of mind to go down to one of the ditches off the road and used her bicycle as a barricade from the dogs, and called her husband and called 911, not necessarily in that order. And a farmer that lived nearby had driven by to check his fields and quickly saw what was happening, got out of his truck, and with his assistance, he was able to get the dogs off of her. She got into his truck and was safe, but she suffered multiple puncture and bite wounds, despite the fact that she was using her bicycle to protect her. And the dogs were confiscated. You know, it's a sad thing, but none had ever been vaccinated. They weren't family pets to that extent, and there were three, and they had turned on each other during this fighting spree. But that's outside the jurisdiction of the city of Urbana, and they were running at large. I don't know exactly the disposition of these animals. I doubt there'll be a good outcome, but she's okay, so that's the most important thing.
Let's, what do you say we take another call?
Sure.
Let's take a call, a listener in Champaign on a cell phone line 2. Good afternoon.
Hi, Jim and Carol. This is Ruth Wheaties. And I heard the last caller's first question, and then I have to admit that I tuned you down because I was trying to get in queue. I thought this was a great opportunity to talk about how breed clubs will often have codes of ethics for breeding, and the people, the dedicated breeders of the purebred dogs, will often not breed until they do know that they could, they did have good owners lined up for all of their puppies. A lot of the overbreeding of purebred dogs, at least my observation, and I'd be glad to hear your comments, has more to do with the people who think that they can breed purebred dogs for profit. And I think that it's one of the things we need to educate the public about. People in dogs always understand that to raise a litter well and to find the good home, you're never going to make a profit. It's just cost too much with the veterinary care and one thing and another. Anyway, I know Jim could go on and on about this, and Carol too. I just wanted to bring up that point of view on the issue of too many purebred dogs. I'll hang up now and listen.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Hi, Ruth.
This afternoon.
Yeah, well, it, the generally people that are in breed clubs, we, as part of being in the breed club, adhere to a code of ethics regarding breeding and a lot of other things. And one of them is we take back a dog anytime. And we've taken back dogs that were 10 years old, 7 years old. And, you know, for various reasons. Most of the dogs we take back are younger, but that's how old, I mean, how old they've been. You limit your breeding, you only breed healthy dogs, et cetera, et cetera. If you're trying to make money doing breeding, if you do it right, you're not going to make any money, as Ruth indicated, because, well, as I said, we've produced one puppy in the last 3 years. Not that we haven't spent a lot of money on it. I'm losing my voice. But yeah, that's true. The pet overpopulation is really fairly complicated. And in my uneducated opinion, it has a lot to do with sanitation. That has helped humans. Just keeping dogs clean and having a clean place for dogs has really improved their health. And antibiotics that have also helped humans have helped dogs enormously. It used to be maybe 100 years ago that if you had a litter of 6 puppies, maybe one would live. And now they all live, and they're all healthy. We have much better nutrition for animals now than we had even maybe 35 years ago. So combining just general sanitation with good medicine, good nutrition, we're getting, and frankly, a culture that just doesn't like to, you know, people used to, the classic killing off of a litter that was unwanted used to happen quite a bit. Now we have shelters and people would rather do that. So animals that would not be unwanted and alive are now in a shelter someplace. So all those things are going on. Also, more, there are more dogs, and obviously you have more dogs, you have more dogs, because that's how it works. So it, there's a lot going on. But with respect to purebred dogs and breed clubs and things like that, the breeding is limited. If people think, oh, we have all these purebred dogs running around, that's not necessarily the case.
Hmm. Let's take another call. Listener in Champaign, line 1. Hello.
Hi, is that me?
That's you.
Okay. Purebred dog breeding and everything like that, it's a hobby. And you know what happens with a hobby? The first thing that happens is it costs you money. I just finished a young male, and I've had 4 or 5 people say, oh, boy, now you're going to start making money, huh? And I look at them and I say, what? It doesn't go like that. I raised few dogs, if any, and I placed them very carefully, and I look to spending Oh, probably five times what I could ever take in if anybody did want to use him before we're done. It's not the purebred breeders who are out to make the money. It's the people who don't know what they're doing and the puppy mills. Enough said. Bye-bye.
What you didn't say is we're going to go to the National this year. It's out in Olympia, Washington. And with the price of gas, we're looking at like $2,000 in gas to get there and back. And as the caller observed, it's what you want to spend your money on. Do you want to spend it on food and shelter and things like that, or do you want to spend it on gas to go to a dog show?
Yeah. Looking for a reputable breeder, what are the signs of a reputable breeder, and what should you be on the lookout for?
You really need
for?
To do your homework. Mm-hmm. And and we're going to, you know, if I were to buy a Malamute, I know that if I were to call Jim or Robin, they'd invite me out. I'd see the parents. I'd see how they were kept. I'd look at their, and, you know, a reputable breeder doesn't have to do well in the breed ring, but it's nice to show that you can accomplish things with the breed of your choice. But I think there was a special on a nationally syndicated talk show about in April, and then repeated again. It was Oprah. On puppy mills.
Oprah who?
And they brought this up. So you know, go see the property where the animals are kept. Go see the parents. See how sanitary the place is. You should choose the animal based on its temperament, not because you fall in love with a picture in a book, and get to know the breed. That's why our dog show that we had 2 weeks ago here in Champaign is so valuable to people in this community, not just because of the entertainment factor, but if they're interested in a certain breed of dog, if they're interested in Malamutes, there are Malamutes there, Malamute people that they can talk to. So,
yeah. I would pick, you know, how do you pick a dentist or a doctor? I don't know. But if you know you've got a good breeder, if you call them up and you say, I want one of your dogs, and they try to talk you out of it. And they ask insulting questions, and you start to think you're getting the third degree, and you're not good enough to have their dogs. And I once talked to a woman for, I think, about an hour.
You're kidding.
And No. And usually I hang up on people, but that's why Robin will let me answer the phone. But I was talking to her, and she wanted a Malamute, and I'm going, oh, you know, they fight, and they dig, and they, And after an hour, she said, if these dogs are so terrible, why do you have so many of them? And I said, well, if you're still with me after an hour of hearing the bad stuff, I'll start telling you the good stuff. But I always remember that. If they're so terrible, why do you have so many? And there's reasons, you know, because we love them. So if you call somebody and they're trying to get you to sell, or they offer you deals, like, I'll tell you what, I'll give you this puppy, and I'll only charge you half, and we'll do a breeding back, and I'll take all the puppies. That's I'd hang up on them right away.
Yeah, I guess it must be that people don't know. Some people don't know really what they're getting into and the commitment that it is.
Oh, they
and
have
the
they have
characteristics of a yeah, particular breed.
No idea.
Breeding is a very bad idea. I'll tell you, we had a mother die. You know, she had seven puppies, and 2 hours later was dead. And let me tell you, it was one of the worst nights of our lives, trying to keep these puppies alive. And we did, as a matter of fact. And there were seven of them. They all grew to adulthood, and five of them became champions, AKC champions. But the night that Mom died, I wouldn't, you know, I thought it was just going to be an even bigger disaster. And if that's what people want to go through, then, you know, more power to you. It's not a money-making proposition. Some people, Robin says, I keep quoting Robin, everybody makes money on their first litter. And then that's the end, yeah.
This is the Afternoon Magazine, and this afternoon our guests are dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month to talk about dogs. It is usually the first Monday of the month, but last Monday was the first Monday, and it was the 4th of July, so everybody got a holiday. Friday, what did I say?
Monday? You said it three times.
It's a good thing. It's the end of the week. Friday, the first Friday. Thank you so much.
It's okay. We didn't want to lose our audience that would turn in Monday.
Okay, so first Friday.
You don't have to go to work tomorrow, folks.
First Friday of the month. But the first Friday this month was the 4th of July, Independence Day. So we all took a holiday. So they're here with us today on the second Friday of the month, and they'll next be with us on the first Friday of August, which is August 1st. In the meantime, if you've got a question about dogs, give us a call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455, 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL.
It's coming back to me. I knew I did something on July 5th. We went to a wedding up in
How could you forget
a wedding?
Well, I remember the wedding. I just didn't remember when it was, being 4 days ago. 5 days ago.
That's amazing. It's just a week ago, and we're wondering what the heck did we do?
And because I'm thinking, I know.
You did something.
We did something every day of the week on or the weekend on July 4th. It was just packed full of stuff, but I couldn't remember what it was. Yeah. It was a Malamute wedding. Not of dogs, but of Malamute people.
Malamute people.
Dog people are the best.
It was a nice venue. It was right on the beach, Lake Michigan, up in Illinois Beach State Park.
Oh, it's pretty up there.
Oh, it was a lovely wedding. But it was all day. You know, we had to drive up there and go to the wedding and drive back. Took all day. Then the next night we went to Shakespeare.
What did you see? Was it Taming of the Shrew?
It was called Shakespeare Unabridged.
Oh.
I believe it's a Canadian play, the Stratford, because I've seen it on TV. They had modified it, a little of the intro.
The complete works of Shakespeare
Abridged,
yes,
something
like
that. Like
90 minutes long.
It was...
entertaining?
Yes, I recommend it to anybody who can get over to Bloomington without... gas. It was very good.
That's a rather short trip.
Yeah, how do you do it without gas?
Well, our friends
have non-sequitur
have a hybrid.
Oh, okay.
And it gets like 1,000 miles a gallon or something like that.
Yeah. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free 800-222-9455. I hope someone will call in with a question or a story. What's up with the Humane Society these days?
I saw Carol's picture in the paper, did you?
Oh, God.
From a couple days ago?
It's so awful. You know, all the opportunities you had to get your picture in the paper, it was the ugliest picture of me that's ever been produced. But it was nice to be
I thought
paper.
It was a very fine verisimilitude.
No, I didn't
and who
like
was,
it.
I forgot who was.
Barb was with
Barb
me.
Was, that's right.
Yes. We were in around the town, or whatever that's called. Nobody likes their picture.
No, that's true.
I mean, it's a great picture of you. I think, that's not what I look like. That's not what I see in the mirror. But
it wasn't for the
Humane
Society. I thought it was for the Humane Society.
No, it wasn't for the Humane Society. It was for Ollie, Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, which we're thinking about. I was talking to one of the people there that night, a couple people actually, about putting together some kind of...
dog training.
An Ollie dog.
Yeah, but
class.
It wouldn't be dog. It would be ethology of dogs or something
like
that.
Did you say yeah, but?
Yeah, but. Ethology. Dog training wouldn't really be.
Ethology.
Ethology. So we're thinking about doing something like that because people that love dogs love to talk about dogs and hear about dogs. So that's something that might be in the works somewhere in the future.
Mm-hmm. And I know the libraries, both in Champaign and Urbana, they've got Reading to the Dogs.
And they
Carol
have
does
summer.
That. Carol.
Well, I don't do it any longer. I just started it. So, yeah, I don't know about Champaign. I know Urbana does. Champaign probably does. Tolono, I think. Philo. They're in several communities now. Very popular program.
Yeah. What kind of opportunities are there for children of a certain age at the dog training club?
At the dog training club?
Yeah, of Champaign.
Oh, I've had... children in class as young as 8 or 9.
Wow.
That have taken their dog through class. It's a little, you know, and I have great admiration for these children because they are the only, everybody else is an adult. And these children.
Even the dogs.
Yeah, but these children that go through class have a very strong sense of self and they stay focused. They're really very good. And they usually seem to have some innate skills with dealing with their dog. So I admire greatly the parents that tell their children, I think that's a great idea. You can take the dog through class, because they must sense their children as a child is a little more
I wish
capable
that had been available for me.
Oh, I wish it were available when I was a kid. But we had some books, but there were no classes.
There's 4-H.
Yeah, well, I didn't. Speaking of which, the 4-H dog show is Tuesday night at the Stock Pavilion. I think I'll swing by and check that out.
Dog show or trial?
The 4-H. They call it the 4-H dog show, but I think they all compete, and then they they compete at a county level, and they go on to the state. And so I've seen that advertised, and I thought, I'll just swing by there Tuesday night and see how that goes.
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, we had a a Weimaraner. I actually had two, and the second one was, the first one didn't live very long. It was a shelter dog, and just its heart gave out, apparently. But then we got a pup, and it was wonderful. And we had a lot of, you know, a lot of great fun with the dog. And I had, you know, in the summertime especially, did a lot of work with her, training her and that kind of thing.
There were books available, but there weren't. Now we seem to have a plethora.
A whole lot of
training venues that even when I moved here, there was we were the only game in town, I think.
There are online bookstores that just sell dog books.
But there's all kinds of places to go train your dog, to do things. It's
many venues.
Many venues. It's really great.
Yeah, tracking comes to mind.
Well, see, our club does. We are unique in that we offer, I think, every sport.
Every AKC sport.
Every AKC sport. I know that we even have a group that goes out and does field training, retrieving.
Mm-hmm. I should mention that Robin started in 4-H way back when it was, I think there were only two H's at that time.
And she was in the, that was pretty funny.
Oh, thank you.
I remember those days.
Yeah, those days.
Well, she grew up in suburban Chicago, didn't she?
Well, I think Eisenhower was president. Well, the Lake Zurich area, which now is suburban
now
Chicago.
Then it was more rural.
Then you're way out in the country.
Yeah.
What do you say we take another call or two here? A listener in Champaign on line one, or excuse me, on a cell phone, line one. Hi.
Hi. I have a quick question about a family-friendly dog breed, golden retrievers versus Labradors. We have a large fenced-in yard, and we live adjacent to a park, and we've never had a large dog before. We have an active 4-year-old who has been around large dogs, and so we feel pretty comfortable making this decision. But we've sort of been going back and forth between golden retrievers and labs. And I was just wondering, really what we're looking for is a dog that is just very, very family friendly, outgoing, and gentle. And I know that those traits describe both breeds, but I was just wondering if you had any opinion, and I would be happy to hang up and listen.
I'm wondering what Carol's opinion
is. Well, you know, I'm thinking Goldens have a little more, they're a little more, their coat requires a bit more maintenance, and they shed. Labs shed, too, the same amount of hair, but the golden retriever's hair is more noticeable.
And easier to clean up, I might add.
I think so, too.
Because the lab hair just gets into stuff.
It weaves itself into the upholstery fabric and the carpeting, and the golden hair just forms big puff balls. There's more. I wouldn't turn down a lab, but I would always prefer a golden. I just think that they have a little more. They're a little more, how can I put it? I think they're just a little more. I wasn't going to be the one to say it. I think they're just a little more gentle.
I think they're more tractable.
Exactly. And a little more in tune with their family and people.
Yeah, and labs are wonderful dogs. But
they're great.
If I had a 4-year-old running around, I'd think twice. Because the labs are just so full of joie de vie that, you know, they don't mean to, but they knock into things.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you have to determine which gender you'd be likely to choose, and the females tend to be smaller in both breeds. Goldens, you can get the females can be really maybe 50 pounds, 45 to 50 pounds. Your males, you know, and there again, it depends on, you know, really doing your homework because there's...
Males can get pretty big.
They can get pretty big. But your golden retriever rescue groups are too numerous to count.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere because...
They're everywhere.
Yeah, because it's a nice dog. But I remember when I was doing Golden Rescue, the one thing that really puzzled me, people hated it when they carried things around, when the dogs would carry things around. And it just was mind-boggling to me that, yeah, that they don't, you know, mine always have something in their mouth. Even my doodle, that's the one retriever trait. Of course, poodles are sporting dogs, too, at one time, but... It's, to me, you know, look at all the flaws. As Jim said, there are flaws to every breed, and there are attributes to every breed.
Did I say
that? Yeah, you said
that. I don't think Malamutes have any flaws.
Well, you tried to convince her of flaws.
Well, I lied.
But anyway, look at all sides. I would go with the golden with the
children. I would tend to, too, and the lab people can jump all over us. But,
they will.
I think, you know, if you're looking for...
True to form.
If it's between those two, and the lab would be a wonderful choice.
Yes.
But if it's between those two and your only consideration is family friendliness, little kids, I'd go with the golden.
Okay, let's take one more call here. Listener in Milford, line two. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Pretty good. I'm on a cell phone, so I hope that you can hear me okay. I have four dogs, three dogs, which I've had a long time. I do dabble a little in rescuing. And I've just introduced a dog that I actually rescued 6 years ago. It was returned to me recently. And this dog has been with the other two dogs, but not with the third dog. And I've never had a problem with... I don't want to call it aggression, but I'm having a hard time putting these dogs together. They're large dogs. We're talking of a lab, a shepherd mix, an English setter are the three that I have, and the one that I'm introducing again is a pit bull mix. Is a very friendly dog, gets along with three little dogs very well, but they're just doing a lot more growling with each other and a few actual fights that, you know, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but I would like them to mingle together. What I've done is I have a child gate separating the dogs, and they respect that. And there's really very little growling between the baby gate. It's just when I put the two dogs together on a leash, of course, and I've muzzled the pit bull just to be safe. But I don't know how much growling is, you know, like when do I stop it?
This is a very complicated
question. Yeah, we only have about 2 minutes.
I'll say the pit bull. You know, pit bulls weren't bred to fight people. Obviously, from the earlier story, they do, but they were bred to fight other dogs. And
now this is a mix.
Yeah, even so, the questions are, you know, how many of these dogs are neutered?
All of them.
What sex are they?
All males. They're all neutered. They're all, most of them neutered at a young age, mm-hmm. including the pit bull mix, because, like I said, I rescued him 6 years ago, but I raised him with like seven other dogs. He was always fine.
Remember, dogs are individuals, and a dog that gets along with one dog may not get along with the next dog. They're very much like people in that regard. My concern is, do you have kids around?
Oh, no kids.
Okay.
Full-time doggy mommy.
rule number one of dog fights, don't get between the dogs. Don't stick your hands in there. Don't stick your legs in there. If you need to, grab them from behind, but be careful. Trying to keep dogs from fighting is a matter of you being the most dominant animal in the room. How much growling would you put up with? I wouldn't put up with any.
Okay.
All right? There's growling and there's growling. There's growling that says, I'm nervous, I wonder what's going on, I'm in a strange place, I don't know my role. And there's growling that says, I'm tougher than you are. And I'd have to hear it before I could offer an opinion, and I might be wrong. I wouldn't tolerate any growling. The problem is that when you have two dogs that each think that they're in the same social position, whether it's number one or number two or number three, and they start growling and you stop it, you haven't stopped the dispute. You've only stopped the growling. It's good that they're neutered, but and that I think you would have an impossible task if they weren't.
Oh, absolutely.
Since they are, neutering only lessens the tipping point, you know, that starts the fight. It lowers it, but it doesn't eliminate it. So you got to be very careful about it. In other words, if a dog starts fighting, it doesn't really matter if they're neutered or not. That's the behavior they start pattern they get into, and that's what they do. So I would just get your mean voice out. Hey, stop that. And then when they stop growling, immediately say, oh, good dog. All right.
Okay.
We tend to go on, you know, yell at a dog because it did something wrong. And then you keep yelling at it long after the dog forgot what it did. So you just want to be very quick, because anything you do, the dog's going to stop growling even for a second. You got to be ready to praise.
And actually, along those lines, they growl and they wag their tails at the same time. And
not necessarily good.
Yeah. He had a tiff with the lab, and we're talking an 85-pound dog and a 95-pound dog.
Mm-hmm.
And we got them separated, but they really did very little damage, barely broke the skin. And the pit bull could have done damage. He had the lab's head in his mouth. But he barely broke the skin. So I'm thinking that was more of a dominance fight.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to
Call next month.
Here. Yeah, call in August 1st. We'll keep our fingers
Or email
crossed.
Us.
There you go.
Email the Dog Training
email
Club.
Email the Dog Training Club.
And because I think we need more time to work on this.
Yeah.
These issues. So we have to wrap it up there.
But I'm glad you're taking the time to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Very important thing to do. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel, they will be with us next month, the first Friday of the month, August 1st.
Is that a Friday?
Jim and Carol are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana.